Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use, no doubt, starts now. This is the broadcast for November 10th in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, then absolutely we're convinced the checks and balances put in place by the founding fathers, brilliant, one of the great solutions to restoration. We stand against revolution. By the way, we do stand for revelation. We stand against revolution, but stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back, one heart, one mind, one issue at a time. Friday, quick recap of yesterday's news. Turns out the NAACP of California wants to remove the, quote, racist star-spangled banner as the national anthem of America. Now, these people are off their rockers, ladies and gentlemen. But there you have it. They're attacking George Washington. They're attacking the Star Spangled Banner. They're attacking everything that we hold dear. They're manipulating. There's fake news everywhere. Ed Gillespie lost. They're trying to lay that at Trump's feet. But it turns out that Steve Bannon offered a campaign for Gillespie, but was denied because Gillespie's a swamp critter and doesn't want Bannon around. Trump salutes deplorables on his, quote, anniversary of election, saying we're taking America back, making America great. Guilt and Redemption in a Hyper-Divided America was an incredible article written by David Kapelian, WND.com. And we talked about how David explains how the left manipulates people into betraying their deepest, most closely held values. Incredible column. GQ writer literally says that Rand Paul deserves the beating he got, the 6 broken ribs and more. Because he's a blank, giddy blank. Anyway, wow. We also talked about this research group that says the GOP tax bill costs $1.75 trillion. We believe that's a big old fake news lie. Cutting taxes doesn't cost government money. In fact, it saves Americans money, right? So let's not pretend that it costs as if the government has some innate fund-generating machine, right? All they got to do is cut spending. We talked about our guest, Neil Harmon, CEO of vidangel.com and drybarcomedy.com. Incredible interview. Please sign the petition now. It's called savefiltering.com. And all I'm telling you is a great interview with Neil Harmon. A lot of good people doing a lot of good things was the whole point. We've got to stand for our rights. We got to stand on God's law. We got to stand with God, family, and country. And we've got to protect life, liberty, and property. And now that that's a recap of the broadcast yesterday, which is available at libertyroundtable.com on demand at your fingertips, we'll move into news the networks refused to use today. It all starts now. And our guest is Angus McIntosh, and we're going to be talking about property rights. He's an expert witness on split estate property rights, especially when there's federal mineral timber reserves. Those are kind of weird land kind of designations and such. All these federal whatever. What is the real bottom line for this discussion? The answer is the right to farm. We have a right to farm conference happening on November the 14th in Grand Junction, Colorado at the fairgrounds. The right to farm is under attack, folks, and has been for many years. That's without a doubt. Angus, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Tell us just a little bit about you first, sir. How did you get involved? Are you a farmer?
Well, my wife and I were part owners in a family ranch up until about 6 years ago. We sold out our interest. It had been in the family for about 5 generations in Arizona. My PhD is in range science and agricultural economics. I've been an adjunct professor of ag economics at Texas A&M, I was a statewide extension rangeland specialist for New Mexico State University. I worked, I was a career employee, worked 16 years for USDA as a rangeland management specialist. So I spent my most of my career in academia and working for the USDA, but I've over the last 10 years or so, I've been primarily involved in private enterprise and started an organization called the Range Allotment Owners Association. And the main driving force that really led me to do that, start that organization, co-found it with Chuck Sylvester of Colorado and several other, the help of several other ranchers, is the fact that when I worked for the federal government, for the U.S. Forest Service, that I found out that they were really lying to the people and ranchers.
All right, say that. I want you to say that part one more time.
The Forest Service was actually lying to people about the nature of the property rights that ranchers have in the West. And that's what led me to co-found the Range Allotment Owners Association. It's an educational association, and that's why I was invited to speak at the Right to Farm event there in Grand Junction on the 14th, is to be able to share the knowledge that I gained in my years in academia and research and in working for the USDA.
Now, so when you say the federal government's been lying to us, you know, Ammon Bundy and others have made that point for a long time. I've known the federal government's been lying. We used to have many, 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 many ranchers. Most of them have been ran out of business. Most of them have, by force, really been taken out of ranching, and the government's literally taken over those lands. They usually use all kinds of strange ways to back into stealing property, etc. It almost reminds me of even before asset forfeiture was kind of an issue. This has been an issue. It's unconstitutional. It's immoral. It's wrong. Has this been going on both sides of the aisle, meaning Republicans and Democrats, for, you know, multi-administrations doing this? Or do you think there's been a sea change?
No, this has been going on. The big problem, or the main problem, is the fact that most people do not understand the land situation in the West. They call national forests and grazing districts that are administered by the BLM, they call them public lands, when in reality there's a legal definition of the term public lands, and grazing districts and forest reserves are not public lands. They are split estate lands. When forest reserves were first established, the intent was not to kick off the settlers who had already been there in many cases for decades. It was to reserve the timber. That's why they originally called timber reserves and then forest reserves. And then eventually the name was changed in 1905 to national forest. What was reserved was the commercial timber. The fear that Congress had was that these big railroad companies and mining companies in the West would clear cut all the timber, and just we'd have a what they called a timber famine. And that was the purpose of forest reserves, is to create a split estate and reserve the timber, the commercial timber. There's laws actually on the book that allow for homesteading national forests, and they were. And these grazing allotments are a surface estate property right. Most people think that it's a seamless ownership of federal land from the center of the earth to the heavens above. But in beginning in 1898, Congress adopted a split estate policy where they reserved the minerals to the United States and only granted a surface title. That way, people could still go out and explore for minerals and develop mines and drill for oil and gas. And ranchers own a limited surface estate for ranching purposes, just like the Bundys, just like the Hammonds, the Hages, the Klumps. I could name off 24 ranchers who have been forced off their ranches. Danny Martinez, over the last 20 years.
And the Hague family and the Hammond family are, and the Bundy family are three kind of the most prominent ones, because the Hagues even had the federal government literally, a judge declared them guilty of racketeering. And so, you know, this isn't just a one-sided thing, folks, where we're anti-government. This is a real split about the proper role of limited government, about the Constitution, about checks and balances. Good, honest
people. He declared
people.
The government guilty, right, Sam?
Yeah, is that not what I said?
I thought you said the Hague family guilty.
Oh, all right. Well, hold on. The government guilty for sure. Liberty Roundtable Live.
Every day I wake up, it's almost like a battle. It's like, well, you know, I could do this today. I could go get drunk.
I don't like beer. I'm an alcoholic because I can't, you know, stop drinking because it alters my mind, but I don't like alcohol.
And I had to keep telling myself that, you know, this is okay. Everybody does this. My whole life was just a big lie.
I can't control if I do take that drink because I'm an addict, and I can't.
I admit, it's messed me up.
I don't have a very good memory. I have a hard time remembering things when I learn them.
I can't concentrate on one thing for more than 5 or 10 minutes. You have fun until you hit rock bottom, and it's not fun anymore.
I remember sitting in assemblies about drugs, and I thought, that's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be like those kids. Here I am.
The choices that you make are choices you're going to have to live with.
A public service message from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, we're interviewing Angus McIntosh. Angus is an expert witness on split estate property rights within federal, mineral, and timber reserves. And the right to farm, ladies and gentlemen, is under attack and has been for many years. There is a right to farm conference taking place on November 14th in Grand Junction, Colorado, at the fairgrounds. Now, boy, did I butcher that. Thank heavens for Kurt to keep me on track here. We're talking about the ranchers that have been wrongfully dealt with by the federal government big time. The government's lying and attacking and stealing property, and it's been happening for quite a while. And I mentioned the Hague family, and anyway, I butchered this. Let me say this over. The federal government literally was guilty of racketeering against the Hague family. And the judge said so. And the judge said, you know what, government, bring your wallet because you're going to pay on this one. The problem with that whole scenario is the government has had no accountability. They've just simply ignored the judge's ruling in favor of the Hague family. Same with the Bundys. You know what? The jury of peers over and over say you're not guilty. But the government keeps abusing these people. There's many, many examples. The Hammond family, again, accused of terrorism and in prison right now. But it's absolutely, well, it's out of control, and it's about land. And so there's a farming conference to deal with this very issue, Angus.
Yes. And, you know, I worked with Wayne Hage on his case. I was an expert witness in that case. They won in front of the United States Court of Claims. They won in federal district court. Those decisions were never overturned. They were ruled against on appeal by the government on other what is called other on other grounds.
And that way, they just pretend like the government won, even though they changed the kind of the fault points, if you will. It's all games to manipulate. The truth is that the Hagues won, and the federal government never was accountable.
No, they were never held accountable. They won on what was called other grounds. What sometimes you hear people say, well, they won on a technicality. But the issue, the Hagues won. They own their ranch. They were entitled to compensation. But because of certain little technicalities or other grounds that had nothing to do with the issues, it was reversed at the Fed Circuit and at the Ninth Circuit, which, of course, the Ninth Circuit is the most liberal circuit in the United States. They were never going to rule against the government, no matter what. But they never overturned any of the findings of fact or conclusions of law that the district court came down with. Not a single one was overturned.
I support a farming conference. I think we need to talk about land. I think Ammon Bundy and those guys are right. I never was in support of taking over the refuge, by the way, and I came out publicly against that and issued a press release on that. I think they made a mistake there. But their points are genuine. Their goals are pure. Their desire is real. Their efforts are noteworthy because of the wrongs that's been done. Do you think we'll ever see justice on this? Do you think that Trump can make a difference? Do you think Ryan Zinke over there and whatever, the Department of Interior or whatever, do you think we can get anybody to come to their senses and reverse a lot of this really violations of power and abuse?
I think that as long as they have career politicos being appointed in these positions, it won't change, because the thing is, they will not acknowledge that there is a split of state, even though the law is very clear. And Judge Jones, in the Hagues case, he laid it out very clearly. Hagues owned his allotments as farm units, what are called farm units, under the unit policy adopted by Congress over 100 years ago. People just don't understand that they look at these western lands and they think they are, quote, public lands. Well, they are split estate lands. National forests and grazing districts, the government owns the mineral estate and the commercial timber. The surface was granted to the settlers who, in many cases, such as in Utah or New Mexico, were there before that was even part of the United States.
Now, let me ask you a question for clarification here on this. If the government owns the mineral rights and the forest, you know, portions of these lands or whatever else, you know, I look in the Constitution and there's a list of the reasons the federal government can own land. And there's a proper way the federal government can obtain legitimate purposed land. And I don't see any of that in there.
Well, it also says in Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, that Congress has the power to dispose of and make all need for rules and regulations. Well, the Supreme Court has ruled on numerous occasions they can dispose of it any way they want. And if they wanted to dispose of it as a split estate, or if they wanted
to... In that clause, though, doesn't it talk about territories? It doesn't talk about within the several states, though.
No, it says Congress may dispose of the territory and other property belonging to the United States.
So I guess the fudge part here is the other properties is the truck you can drive, or a hole you can drive a truck through kind of area. In the other clauses, though, it literally says, hey, here's a list of the reasons the federal government can own land. And so
I'm just saying what the Supreme Court has said.
Understood,
and here's
sure.
The thing. I used to be on the bandwagon that says as soon as a state entered the union, all of the quote-unquote public lands should pass to the state. Well, the fact is there was very little public land. By legal definition, if someone has already settled on the land and improved it and enclosed it and is making an agricultural use of it, it is no longer, quote, public land. Nobody else can settle
Understood.
On that land.
And by the way, I don't bring this up to argue these points with you. I bring this up because these are the details that I think most Americans aren't really understanding about these debates. These debates are not as simple as it sounds. They're very complicated. And to be honest right. with you, if we had a federal government that really did their very best to understand and carry out the intentions of our founding fathers, we wouldn't be having these clauses all opposing each other. We wouldn't have all this conflict, per se, because good people with good intentions moved along this track, if you will, in the beginning desiring to make sense out of this, to make it a fair, equitable situation. But somewhere along the line, exploitation began to happen. Somewhere along the line, these, you know, commonly understood things by our founders and our forefathers got manipulated, divided, and used against us. That's the reason I'm bringing this up is because that's the understanding we need to get to, right?
Right. Just like on the land issue, Congress wanted to dispose of the, quote, public lands to individual settlers. But they didn't want to give a 100 sections of land to a rancher who might not want to develop the minerals. That's why they adopted this split estate policy, was so the rancher would have a title to the service so he could have enough land for, quote, the support of a farm family. That was the whole idea. They were granting lands sufficient for the support of a family. 160 acres, 320, 640, those were arbitrary amounts. So they adopted this unit policy where they would grant enough land to support a rancher, but yet they were afraid that then the rancher would not want to develop the minerals, would not want to log the timber, and that is why they created a split estate, not to retain the ownership in perpetuity of the minerals and the timber, but to dispose of them separately. That's why you can still get a timber sale, or you're supposed to be able to have a timber sale in a national forest. You're supposed to be able to file a mining claim in a BLM grazing district or a national forest. Those minerals and timber are still supposed to be open for disposal. But once they pass the Federal Land Policy Management Act, which the only thing these bureaucrats are supposed to do is do coordinated planning, because you've got this split estate where the rancher owns the grazing rights. You could have state and county roads that run through these areas. You know, you could have private mining companies. You could have timber companies that want to harvest timber. And so they are supposed to do planning with these federal statutes and coordinate this together. But instead, they've used it as a weapon to stop this development, stop people from using their grazing allotments, stop mining companies from mining, stop loggers from logging, and basically drive the rural population away from their towns.
All right, hold on. Angus McIntosh with us, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about this event in Grand Junction, Colorado at the fairgrounds on the 14th about property rights, about the right to farm. Let's dig into this. This understanding is incredibly valuable, folks. Hold on.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Kosher-tified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at kosher-tified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Kosher-tified app will be your start. Download it now at kosher-tified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Angus McIntosh riding shotgun today on the broadcast. He's an expert witness on split estate property rights within federal mineral and timber reserves. Now, this is an understanding that we got to get to. A lot of people just want to say, oh, you know what? Constitutionally, you got to have the states in charge of the land. The federal government just needs to get the heck out. I get it, but it's not that simple. There's some conflicting clauses that make it very difficult. And the problem is there was an understanding back in the day about proper use of land. And the goal was to make sure that land could be used the most effectively. The goal wasn't to control land and kick people off and cause all these problems. But slowly but surely, the understanding started to fade away. Generation to generation started to not understand the intentions. And slowly but surely, federal government or governments do what they always have done, which is continue to encroach and abuse. And pretty soon you had dishonest people there trying to defend the status quo. That became a huge problem. So the point that I'm getting at is that this is not a simple issue like people think it is. Now, I agree that we need a right to our property. That's important to understand. And we got to stand on that right. The right to farm is under attack and has been for many years. That's why there's a right to farm conference happening on November 14th. In Grand Junction, Colorado at the fairgrounds. You need to be there. It's got a lineup of incredible speakers. I think it starts like at 10 a.m. It's incredible. We'll get into that in just a minute. But before we do so, Charles from Carolina wants to chime in, Angus, and ask a question. Hi, Charles.
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Good, sir.
Hey, I just wanted to ask Angus, these allodial, is it called, titles play into this thing?
Well, that goes back to English law. We hear something a lot of people don't understand. There's numerous Supreme Court decisions on this issue. What the Supreme Court has said in their interpretation over the last 200 years is that because of the property clause, Article 4, Section 3, Clause 2, which says Congress has the power to dispose of and make all needful rules and regulations respecting the territory and other property belonging to the United States, that this gives a plenary or exclusive power to Congress, and that when Congress passes an act and says, for example, the right-of-way for the construction of highways over the public lands is hereby granted, then the title passes. It is when Congress passes an act and says, you do this and it's yours, the title is complete. Okay, you don't need anything else. Under our constitutional system, this power to grant land, dispose of the land, is vested solely in Congress. And so this idea that you need to have a patent or some kind of document or title of some kind from the government to prove you own your land, the Supreme Court has rejected. They've said when Congress passes a law and say, if you live there for 5 years and you improve the land and you occupy it and you do everything necessary to establish possession and a right of property, it's yours. And in 1916, Congress passed such an act. There was all kinds of land disputes going on in the West. People who had been living on the land for decades, they were dying, and their land would go into probate, and they'd say, well, where's your patent? And Congress, and there was so much turmoil, and the land office was way behind in issuing patents. And so Congress just said, okay, we're going to pass a law. We're going to cure this defect of land titles. We're simply going to pass a law that says if you've lived on the land for 5 years, you've done everything required, it's yours. You can sell it. You can pass it by descent. You can grant a deed. That cured any defect in land titles. It's just that that's an obscure law that most people have never read or never heard of, but it's still the law. It's as much a law as any other act Congress ever passed. And after that date, it was no longer necessary to have a piece of paper from the government. It became a question of fact. And so allodial titles, which date back to English law, are really, I think, a sidebar distraction. The real point becomes a question of fact when you're talking about proving a title or ownership to land that at one point originally was public lands in the United States.
Yeah, let me explain it this way, Charles, then we'll let you fly. In the clause, you know, Article 4, Section 3, whatever, 2, it says other property belonging to the United States. Okay, the debate is, did it belong to the United States or did it belong to the states in the first place? In other words, who owned it in the beginning is where the debate is. Now, the problem is this has become very convoluted. The courts have ruled over and over and over and over. When you look at the checks and balances, based on the Constitution, you can't just dismiss all the court rulings. Now, you can say, well, they don't apply, and here's why. Even Judge Napolitano came out and said, hey, you know what? The federal government has no rights to these lands in the West. And then there's a debate about, you know, when you talk about lands, you know, these states were supposed to be brought into the Union on equal footing clauses, which means, hey, you can't have all these different guidelines to land in the West different from what you have in the East. And the problem is this battle goes on forever, and it's incredibly complicated. And what you can't do, in my mind, and I think that our guest is exactly right on this, Mr. McIntosh, which is you can't just say, hey, the federal government has no involvement here whatsoever. Because you know what? There's a ton of court cases that say they do. The Supreme Law of the Land has two clauses that seem to, on the surface, conflict. There's reasons the federal government can own land, but there's also power given to Congress. And you can't just say Congress doesn't have the power and the courts are wrong. And so it becomes very convoluted, even though Judge Napolitano came out and said, hey, constitutionally, the federal government should not own this land. Now we got to get into a debate of how this should all go down and how do you unwind all kinds of decisions that have been made and transfers of property and control and mining and minerals and all these complicated multi-use issues just can't be unwound overnight. Do you have a follow-up question, Charles?
Well, yeah, I think I heard Bo Greitz talk about some lady whose husband was a World War I veteran, and they were trying to take her land from her, the government was. And they went back on that allodial title thing, and she ended up getting to keep her land. And the other thing was that, you know, like, you know, I own a home, and it's on some property. And I was wondering if there's any way that we can get, you know, full rights to the land, you know, anywhere in the property line. That's like to say it's really ours. Not somebody can't come in and say I'm going to drill for oil here in your backyard or what have you, because I've got some kind of right to do that.
Understood.
And you don't have any stake in it.
All right. Thanks, Charles.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, the,
go ahead, sir.
I was just going to say that property law varies from state to state in regards to what's called abandonment. People can own mineral rights, but they have to pay taxes if that state charges taxes on mineral interests. Some states do, Colorado, for example. It just varies from state to state. If you think that someone else owns the mineral rights, you can explore your state law to find out what you need to do to have title to the mineral rights restored to the fee, which is the service title.
Yeah, and the problem here is, you know, some of this land was, you know, really purchased from Mexico after the Mexican War. And so, you know, when you start to unwind these things, you get into a discussion of who really can lay claim to what, when, how, where. You know, one side says, hey, when the states enter the union on this equal footing clause, hey, the federal government would not have right to any of that land. Others would say no. In the contracts, when they joined the union, they gave up the right to the land.
The big misunderstanding, and I remember I said I used to be on that bandwagon until I started studying the law and looking into it. The equal footing doctrine has to do with jurisdiction, not with ownership. And it's explained very well in a 1950 Supreme Court case, United States versus Texas. And the Supreme Court explains that the equal footing doctrine has to do with jurisdiction or legislative authority, not necessarily with how much land the state owns, but who has jurisdiction over that land. The federal government can own property and not have any legislative jurisdiction over whatsoever. They own lots of property that they the federal government does direct loans for people to buy houses. Those houses are foreclosed on. The government owns title of that land. They have no political jurisdiction over that.
All right, hang on, ladies and gentlemen. Angus McIntosh, our guest. We're talking about this incredible Right to Farm conference going on in Grand Junction, Colorado at the fairgrounds on the 14th. We'll get details of that in seconds as well. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, the Right to Farm Conference is on November 14th in Grand Junction, Colorado at the fairgrounds. The Right to Farm is under attack and has been for many years, Kurt.
Well, it's a great point, Sam. And, you know, when I look at this report, this is a
awesome lineup,
press release. Huh? Yeah, the press release. And, you know, the good doctor will be available. Angus McIntosh will be speaking, our guest. And this is, by the way, 2785 Highway 50 Grand Junction. You know, and so you've got this Right to Farm Awareness Conference from 10 to 4:30. Pretty good day there. Tickets are $20. You can call Rosemary Anderson at 874-9550 to reserve your ticket. Now, this is according to the DeltaCountyIndependent.com, so you can look it up and get more details there as well. David Kuntz is also a contact info that they've got on here.
Yeah, and by the way, David will be on with us on Monday as well.
Very good. And by the way, there's a pie auction, which I felt that you would enjoy, Sam.
Darn right I would.
And they say that's going to be held for the Hostetler family, who fell under attack due to an accusation of dust particles from their chicken barn blowing onto a neighbor's property.
And by the way, David's going to drill into those details on Monday about that, too. So.
And they say they've incurred $750,000 in expenses to successfully defend their operation. Wow.
All right, Angus, let me just lay it out like this. There's two kind of extreme views on the land. One is, hey, the federal government has nothing to do with it. They have no authority whatsoever, period. They're off the land. They just need to get out of here, and they're done. And they use all kinds of ideas to say that. Part of it's constitutional, part of it's equal footing clause, part of it's, you know, it's a jurisdictional discussion. The other side says, oh, no, the courts say and the federal government can do whatever the heck they want on the land, and there is no boundary. There are no boundaries whatsoever. The truth really lies in the middle, doesn't it?
Yes. I'll give you an example. Washington, D.C. The federal government has, and nobody will dispute, that they have exclusive legislative authority over 10 miles square, which will be for the seat of government. Yet in Washington, D.C., the majority of the land in Washington, D.C. is owned by private individuals, houses, hotels, restaurants, businesses. And so there is a prime example of how the government has jurisdiction, yet not ownership. And the opposite is true in the West. They own reserve mineral rights and timber rights for the purpose of disposal, yet they have no legislative authority over those areas because once those grazing allotments were made, it was no longer, quote, public land. It was now split estate land. And it even says in the Forest Reserve Organic Act that the federal government has no jurisdiction, no citizens will be deprived of their rights under the state law or the states of their jurisdiction. It actually says that.
And that's why you come out of the gate saying you discovered the government's lying, because they're manipulating that reality and going against the rule of law.
Absolutely. What they do is they get you to use the wrong language. They get you to call them public lands. There is a legal definition of the term public land. Public land is land that no one has any rights to. There's no homesteader. There's no mining claim. There's no rights attached to it. That is public land, basically a unoccupied wilderness. Well, once the settlers came out west and established ranches and farms and built county roads and state highways, that land was no longer public land. There's dozens of Supreme Court cases to this effect. The reason they want you to call it public land is because if you ever go into court and you start arguing, well, I have a right of access to public land, you lose. Automatically, because by legal definition, There are no rights on public land. They are split estate lands. They started using this term public land in the 1970s. They even have, the next time you're driving down the road and you see one of these BLM signs, it says, "Welcome to your public lands." It actually has the term public lands in quotation marks. There is a reason for that. It is, by legal definition, there are no rights on public land. The government owns everything. Well, if they own it and there's no private rights attached, then they have this exclusive legislative authority. On the other hand, if it's truly split estate land, they have no legislative authority. They have lied to people trying to convince them that this is public land, that there are no private rights of any kind, whether it be a county road, state highway, grazing allotment, or anything else, and that is why I said they've been lying to people.
And Mr. McIntosh, one easy way for people to understand this and prove this is when Barack Obama just declares large swaths of land some designation. You know what? Jurisdictionally, he has no legislative authority as the chief executor of the nation. And so what you see is whenever they violate these checks and balances, whenever they violate these publicly acknowledged and defined terms in case law and everything else, then you know they're perpetuating the lie. Isn't that one of the greatest telltale markers?
Absolutely. The way they get away with it, if you'll read the latest designation for the monument down in San Juan County that he declared, there is a whole section in there that says, oh, by the way, this does not affect any valid existing rights. As long as they put that savings clause in there, they can declare the whole United States a national monument. The thing is, our own ignorance is undermining our success because we fall for the lie that, oh, this is public land, there's no private rights, therefore the government can do anything they want. And so they put this savings clause in there to get some off the hook legally, but the point is, most people don't realize that a mining claim is a property right.
So let me give you an example to make this point and see if this example holds water in your mind. Right now, they have never declared you can't pray in government schools. Okay, you're allowed to pray in government schools. If you ask, you know, Liberty Counsel and other attorneys, Matthew Staver and a lot of good guys, they'll say, look, you can pray in school. No, nobody's said you can't. The problem is they've perpetuated that myth, that lie, that perversion so long and the ignorance of the people. Now people believe you simply can't pray at school. It isn't true, but it's kind of the order of the day by de facto ignorance, if you will. The same reality check is here with land, right?
That is it exactly. The attorney for Region 5, Utah and Nevada, the Forest Service attorney, saw my presentation about five times, and an attorney friend of mine who was also there, we went up to him afterwards and we said, well, I won't say the guy's name, but we said, you've heard this presentation five times. What do you think? And he said, well, you know, legally, you're right. But we've been doing it this other way for so long, the law doesn't matter anymore. That is their philosophy.
Imagine a statement, a belief like that. Until we get good, honest Americans elected to demand legislative accountability, until we get a president to carry out executive-wise the proper role, until we get good justices on the court that understand these principles, folks, they're just thumbing their nose at the law. They're thumbing their nose at the intentions of our founding fathers and our forefathers. And simply put, we got an epic battle on our hands if we ever expect to restore this. And the only way to do it, in my mind, is to do so with education first. Because otherwise, it's just bring out the guns, and we reject that notion. There are better ways. There are peaceful ways. Go ahead, Angus.
Oh, I was just saying, I agree. Education is the key. We have to know the law, know how these lands were settled in the West, and realize they're really split estates. They're not this seamless fabric of federal ownership that they would have people believe.
but they're also not 100% privately owned and the government just get the heck off, as a lot of the Patriots would perpetuate, thus confusing even further.
Right. The split estate nature land was for the very purpose of continued development, you know, perpetual timber harvest, continuous mineral development where there were valuable minerals available. That's the lifeblood of the West, is our resources and our agriculture.
Amen to that. There is some people in Alaska that have carved out some concept of appropriate use on the land. They haven't done it perfectly, but they've there's smatterings of understanding in the way things happen in Alaska, too, just as a quick side note. Angus, we sure appreciate your time, sir. Hopefully many people will be seeing your speech on the 14th in Grand Junction, Colorado, at the Right to Farm Conference. And we hope you'll come back soon, sir.
Thank you.
There he goes. All right, Kurt, you want to give everybody the details again? There's a bunch of speakers happening, right?
Well, that's right, Sam. I mean, you've got a full day, you know, for this. And this is according to the Delta County Independent .com newspaper or publication, I guess you'd call it, because it is online. Right to Farm Awareness Conference, November 14th, coming up 4 days from now. Dr. McIntosh, who we just heard from, will be there, as well as others. The conference goes from 10 a.m. to 4:30. Tickets are $20. You can call several individuals there. If you want more details on that, go to the DeltaCountyIndependent.com. They're having a pie auction, and if you get a little cherry pie, you can send it my way. What kind of pie is your favorite, Sam?
That's hard to say. I like so many of them. I love a good Dutch apple pie, probably.
Ooh, a little vanilla ice cream on top of it.
I'm yeah, also really fond of pecan pie, Kurt. Pecan pie.
Yeah, there you go.
You know, and I love a great, great lemon meringue pie, too. So, you know, I'm kind of a tough one on this. I like so many, you know, it's just bad news. I like so many pies. What I don't like is a pie in the face.
That's right.
Just saying. Good point. All right. Thank Angus for doing such a phenomenal job, though. What an incredible educator. What a professional witness to truly break down land, to do so in a way that's meaningful and a great way forward. And education's the answer, folks. That's the key. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.